We're still teaching in 1 John. You can go ahead and be turning to 1 John. I don't know how long this is going to take. This is the sixth message so far, and we're not even out of chapter 2. I'm not trying to make it long, but I am trying to be complete, and I'm not going to move until he moves. There's no way I can even begin to give you everything that came forward during the early service. So all I can really do is give you a very short, hopefully 5-minute synopsis of what was taught. So 1 John chapter 1, we always start here because it's so important. You got to remember now, this letter was written roughly 55 to 60 years maybe after the events that's recorded in the Gospel of John. Everything that you read in the Gospel of John is true, and that's when John was a very young man, probably in his 20s. Now, and historians vary on the exact date, but roughly A.D. 30 is when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. Well, this epistle of 1 John was written roughly A.D. 85. I mean, 50, 55, depending on which historians write, maybe 60 years later. Yet look what John says, why he's writing this letter. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Who is he talking about? Come on, that's Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. Now, when he says bear witness, remember verse 1, I have touched him. I have seen him with my own eyes. I am not giving you anything secondhand. I was there. I've touched. John was the one reclining on his chest at the Last Supper, for crying out loud. The life was manifested. We have seen it. And I'm bearing witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now get this. I am an eyewitness. I was there. That which we have seen. In other words, I saw it with my own eyes. That which we have heard. I heard him myself. Declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that word fellowship is so important for today's lesson. See, if you're going to walk with John, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? So if you're going to walk with John, John's going, well, I'm walking in the teachings of Jesus. And I'm still a witness 50, 55 years later, what I heard, what I saw. I'm not adding to anything Jesus said. I'm not taking away from anything Jesus said. I'm not watering down anything Jesus said. I am still walking in fellowship with what I saw and what I heard. And if you want to walk with me, you will walk in those same things also. Can you see that? But now notice, today's lesson, he starts talking about these that don't walk with him anymore. Come on down where we are today. And this was this morning's early lesson. I'm giving you a summary. 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, he's talking there really about the one that Paul writes about. Jesus talked about him too. The Antichrist that is going to come, that everybody's familiar with to some degree during the tribulation time. He's going to set himself up as God. Paul wrote about him, but he didn't call him the Antichrist. Paul calls him the man of sin, and another place, the son of perdition. Okay, you got that? But now he's saying, we're in the end time. You've heard him that guy's coming. Paul wrote about him, Jesus. You got to remember, this letter is written 20 years after Paul already went home to be with the Lord. And we know that John finished his life in Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor. Who taught Timothy? Paul. Paul taught Timothy. So John is fully familiar with Paul's teachings, okay? So he says, little children, it's the last time. You've heard that Antichrist shall come. Well, Jesus talked about him. Paul talked about him. But see, John's not really teaching about him. If you want to learn about him, go study Paul. Okay. But he says, but even now, there are many antichrists, whereby we do know that it's the last time. In other words, we're not there yet where that man of sin is revealed. But boy, we're already in a time when that same spirit is loose in the church. And how you know it's loose in the church is verse 19. They went out from who? Let me say it another way. They didn't stay in fellowship with us. They were with us, but they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now let me back up just a little bit. I'm trying to do this in 5 or 10 minutes. See, this Antichrist spirit, Paul teaches really strong about him. It's that Paul says it opposes and it exalts. That spirit opposes God and exalts itself. So it opposes, they're going to be antichrist and they're going to oppose the teachings of Jesus. I oppose that. And I exalt myself, meaning you need to listen to me, what I say, instead of what Jesus said. Now this morning I read two quotes from two of the, probably the two best known hyper grace, radical grace preachers on the planet. And all I did was copy and paste from their own stuff. And they both of them plainly tell you, you don't need to listen to the words of Jesus before the cross. Yet everything John is teaching in this, not everything, 90% of what John teaches in this epistle is from the Gospel of John, verses 14, 15, and 16. And all of that is before the cross. John does not agree with those guys at all. See, and the reason those guys have to teach, they have to remove the teachings of Jesus from you. Because you cannot stay with the teachings of Jesus and believe what they're teaching. You got that? All of that is in the early service. I do not have time to go over that again. But as I was going through this, is going. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And I just kept getting that scratching as a teacher, that itching down on the inside. There's something I'm not getting here. And I just kept going over it and over it again, reading up to that point and praying in the Holy Ghost like Dave taught us. Thank God for Pastor Day. And that finally the Holy Ghost came to my rescue by telling me one word, which was context. I went, oh. So I just went back. Here's just a short review, just up to this point in the epistle. What has John been saying? That these guys can't walk in. They can't walk in fellowship with this. Number one, well, John started off. And all of this, I've already given you chapter and verse. You know, those of you that's been through all these, you know, I've given you chapter and verse from Jesus, everything John has said. But John has said just so far, God is light and so are you. He's saying there's no darkness in him. And really, there's no darkness in you. You're a child of light. You're supposed to walk as a child of light. John said it this way, you should walk as he walked. That means you don't have to sin anymore. These guys can't walk in fellowship with that. John says, well, if you do sin, if you commit a sin, you do have an advocate, a lawyer with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. But then right after that, John says, but don't think you can live in habitual sin and stay in fellowship with God. You can't. John says this, if you do not keep his commandments, you don't even know him. See how quiet it gets in the church. If you do not keep his commandments, this is just what he said so far. If you don't keep his commandments, you do not love him. And that's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then the last straw, it's no coincidence that talking about these antichrists, these who oppose Christ and exalt themselves, it's no coincidence that it came right after the verses that in this letter, love not the world, because that's the last straw. That was the last straw. These guys are going, like most Christians today believe, that you can have God and the world at the same time. No, you cannot. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. And you can be a very wealthy person and still be serving God. You can be a very wealthy person like a Colombian drug lord and most certainly not be serving God. Isn't that right? Well, that was the last straw. These guys are going, John, we want to be known as Christians, but we can't walk with you anymore. You're saying we don't have to sin, but we're saying we do have to sin. You're saying we have to, if we don't keep his commandments, we don't love him, but I'm telling you, I do love him. I've been getting this from people that I know and love, not so much from the church, but other friends. And they're just flat telling me, you know. I'm going to quit listening to you. Well, that's what these guys were doing. I'm going to quit listening to you, John. Because you're telling me I can't. This one friend is living in open fornication and has for years. But he believes he's okay with God. He tells me he's going to go talk to Jesus about it. Well, if that Jesus approves living in fornication, it's a different Jesus than the one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus cannot deny himself. He is the Word. Anyway. So the verses, did I even read them? No, I didn't. Okay. Yeah, I did. I read them. Verses 18 and 19. Now, Lord. That was the gist of this morning's message. You've got to understand these antichrists. And I'm telling you, it's not just the hyper grace teachers. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to look right here. Any preacher, and I don't care how big their church is. I don't care if they have signs and wonders. John talked about that. I don't care if they have a 40,000 member church. Any preacher or teacher that tells you that you do not have to hear and obey the words of Jesus is an antichrist. They are against what Jesus taught, and they are exalting themselves above the Messiah himself. Run away. Save yourself from hell. Is that clear enough? I'm going to say it again. Jesus taught, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done many mighty works in thy name? And I will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity. They wanted to be, want to call him Lord, Lord. They want to make heaven, but they will not depart from iniquity. Even though he says you are a light, you're a child of light, you don't have to walk in darkness anymore. They say we're walking in darkness and we're still going to make heaven. And he says, no, you won't. And the Holy Spirit said it to me this way recently. You will either depart from iniquity now or you will depart from Jesus then. That's what he said. There's a whole lot more that I'm not covering. And John's not through talking about the Antichrist here. He comes back to it here later in the chapter. But at this point, he chooses to start talking about the Holy Spirit. So let's start here now. So go to 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 20. One of our favorite verses. Thank God for Pastor Dave who taught us this verse. But you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, one thing you need to know is that word unction is the same word translated anointing later on in this letter. You have an anointing and an anointing. It's the same Greek word. Now, John is teaching when he writes that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. He is teaching exactly what he heard Jesus teach. Now, you're welcome to try and turn to these, but I'm not going to wait on you, okay, because we got a lot of ground to cover. John 14, 26. Now, look at how similar this is. Jesus is teaching. But the Comforter, which is, oh, by the way, is John 14, 26 before the cross? Oh, okay, just wanted to make that point. John does not agree with these false teachers that say you don't have to listen to the words of Jesus. Everything he's teaching is out of mostly 14, 15, and 16, which is all of it before the cross. Anyway, I get righteously indignant. Angry, okay? I get angry. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice, he shall teach you all things. John said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. How do you know all things? The Holy Spirit will teach you. Holy Spirit will teach you whatever you need to know. And bring to your remembrance whatever I have said unto you. Well, that's That's the teachings of Jesus. Regardless of the radical grace teachers, these disciples of Christ that are following with John, the ones that are still in fellowship with John, these true Christians know the truth that Jesus has set them free from sin, and they no longer have to walk in darkness. Let me quote that again from Jesus. John 8:12, Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm not going to teach on that at length, but he's saying the same way that I walk in the light, you can walk in the light, because the life that I'm doing that by, I'm going to put that same life in you. You can walk in the light as I'm in the light. You don't have to walk in darkness. And later in the same chapter, verses 31 and 32, he said, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not only had these disciples that are walking in fellowship with John, the ones still walking with him, they had been taught the truth from the very beginning by the genuine apostles of the Lord. But they also had the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He was residing within them, and he would continue to teach them all things. John knew they already knew the truth, but he's reminding them that no matter where the Lord sends them on planet Earth, they have an unction. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit within you to continually teach you all things and remind you of the things that Jesus has already said in order to keep your feet on the path of truth. The Holy Spirit himself will reveal the lies of the Antichrist to them. John is saying, stay close to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then John continues, look at it again in your Bible, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Well, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now in italics it says, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. You can leave it in or take it out. Apparently it wasn't in the original Greek, but the first half of it says the same thing anyway. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, it follows, if you acknowledge the Son, then you have the Father. John is saying, if these men that he's been talking about, the ones that left their fellowship, could not continue walking with them, the one he is calling Antichrist, he's saying, if they just blatantly came out and said, and a few of them did, but see, if they just come out and said Jesus is not the Messiah, how much of the church is going to listen to that? I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to get, you know, Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not the Christ. There was a few crazies who did that. I mentioned them in the early service. That is not what was going on really then. That's not what's going on now. Jude says these same guys, they come into the church unawares. Well, they couldn't do that if they're coming in saying Jesus is not the Christ, could they? They don't deny that, but what they do deny is his teachings. They say no to him. They say, what you said is not the truth. So John is saying, if these men came out blatantly and said Jesus is not the Messiah, well, everybody would know they're liars. But these false teachers that are denying the teachings of Jesus, they're also denying the Father, who openly declared that Jesus was his Son and that we are to hear and obey his words. Now, when this came, my feet about took off again. You're going to like this. You got to remember, John was one of the ones present on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that? Excuse me. Stay here. He heard with his own ears. I'm going to quote to you from Luke 9:34-35. There came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, and John was there. He's one of them that was there. He heard it with his own ears. "This is my beloved son. Hear him." God. John's being a faithful witness. Half a century later, he's going, "I'm not giving you something secondhand. I was there." These guys that say you don't have to listen to the Son, they're denying the Father who said listen to him. God. Now, there's no time for me to teach again that series. I've already taught this in the past. But the whole incident on the Mount of Transfiguration really was an effort to restore Peter back to fellowship after his rebellion against the Lord. And I don't mean denying the Lord three times, you know, during the trial. But it's when Jesus had said he's about to be executed. And I'll quote to you what Peter said here from Matthew 16, verse 22 and 23. After Jesus said that he's going to be tried and executed, Peter took him. Peter, I'm going to read it. Took him and began to rebuke him. Please don't ever rebuke the Lord. Peter did. Began to rebuke him, saying, this is an early manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. Jesus tells you the truth, and you're going, "No. Be it far from thee, Lord." Then he said, "This shall not be unto thee." Would you call that speaking against what Christ said? I would. It's the seed of it. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, there, that's okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I was speaking out of the modern love thing where everybody gets a participation trophy. I'm sorry. Love will tell you the truth unvarnished and real. You'd be standing there shaking in the wind after he gets through with you, and it'll be all love saving you from hell. He says, you get Jesus, it says, he turned. You know what that means? He turned his back on Peter. He turned his back on him, and he says, "You get behind me, Satan." Now, he knew Peter wasn't Satan. But what Peter just said was from Satan. "You are an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, I've already taught this in the past. There was like a three-step recovery that Jesus went through to redeem Peter back, to get Peter back, to restore him back to fellowship. And it took a while. How many of you know Peter was just a little stubborn? Does that give any hope for you? It does to me. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is one of those steps where God is trying to restore Peter. Because he hasn't really repented yet. He's still going, no, this will not be. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, God himself, he declared to them all, Peter, James, and John, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." It's especially directed to Peter. "Peter, shut your mouth. You repent. And you better listen to what my son says." See, John, he was there. He's one of them that heard it. And so he's remembering. And half a century later, he's going, these people that say no to Christ's teachings, they're not just denying him. They're denying the Son and the Father. Because I was there the day the Father said, "This is my Son. You better listen to him." Well, he didn't say you better. He says, listen to him. Hear him. I don't know about you. That just heats my chili. It spins my prop. I'm telling you that kind of stuff. See, these antichrists who are saying it's okay to deny the teachings of the Son, they're also denying the witness of the Father who said, "Hear the Son. Hear him." So John was there that day, and he's just being a faithful witness of what he saw and heard. Okay, verse 24 now. 1 John 2:24. "Let that therefore abide in you," now get this, "which you have heard from the beginning." The beginning of what? The beginning of their walk as a Christian. "If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father." Well, Let's talk about the beginning of any Christian. Let's especially talk about the beginning. See, they didn't have printed Bibles like we have now. You can read it in the book of Acts. How did the new converts, how did it happen in the beginning? You can read it yourself. They learned the apostles' doctrine going from house to house. Get this, not Sundays and Wednesdays, daily. And what were the apostles teaching? What Jesus told them in Matthew 28, you teach them everything I taught you. So this is what they heard from the very beginning of their walk with the Lord, because they were taught it by the real apostles. They were the only teachers there in the beginning. There wasn't any false ones yet. So in the very beginning, they're teaching the people the same things that Jesus taught them. Could I say the words of Christ? They have this. They know this. They've been taught this from the beginning. He says, and if you'll stay with what you heard in the beginning, you're going to be okay. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. I don't care what culture you're in. I don't care what part of the world you're in. I don't care if you're young, old, fat, skinny, white, brown, polka-dotted, or striped. The gospel does not change. It's the same for you and everybody else. And it only comes from one source, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot change his word. You cannot deny his teachings and say you're a Christian. But these guys, the last straw. We can't sin? What? We can't live any way we want to? What? We can't love the world? That's it. We can't have the world and Jesus too? We can't walk with you. Can't walk with you anymore. And they walked away. So let me read it the way I wrote it. Remember that in the beginning of becoming Christians, they were taught daily from house to house by the apostles themselves. The apostles taught these new converts what Jesus had taught them. They were taught the truth from the beginning. And that is what they are to have abiding in them. That word abiding means living constantly in you. Notice if they keep the original doctrine, abiding in them, they would also continue in the Father and in the Son. Now, John is only teaching what he already heard Jesus teach. You can turn there if you want. I doubt you'll have time. John 14. By the way, I got to ask again, is John 14 before the cross? Thank you. Trying to drive a point home. John 14, 19 through 23. Now notice, let me read how John said it. If that which you had heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Got that? He's getting that from Jesus. John 14, verses 19 through 23 says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Does that sound like you might continue in the Father and the Son? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, here it is, now get this. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you love me, you will keep my words. If that which you heard from the beginning continues to abide in you. Well, that's his words. That's what the apostles taught. They taught the people the words they had heard from Jesus. And if that continues to abide in you, and you don't get led off by one of these antichrists, then you're going to continue your fellowship with us, but more importantly, you're going to continue with the Father and the Son. But you've got to abide in the truth. Now notice verse... Okay. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That means deceive. But the anointing, that's the same word as unction earlier. But the anointing which you have received of him, now notice, abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But and for sure you don't need these antichrists trying to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, just like Jesus said, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now notice that verse 25 begins with the word and. You have to connect the previous verse to it in order to understand it. So let's do that. Let's look at verses 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If you underline, or if you circle, underline the word if. If. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So I wrote this. If the original doctrine of Christ, which is what the apostles' doctrine taught you from the beginning when you were born again, if that continues to abide in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father, and you will obtain the promise of eternal life. See that? Why? That life is in the vine. He is just repeating what Jesus taught again. John 15, verses 6 through 7. If a man abide not in me, I should have gone even earlier. Hang on. John 15, I am the vine. Can't quite quote that one by heart. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Here it is. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So I wrote here in all caps, the life is in the vine. You must abide in Christ for that life to flow in you. If you do not continue to abide in Christ, you will be cast forth as a branch. Now here it is. There is no such thing as abiding in Christ without his words abiding in you. Can I say that again? Because, see, that's where the and comes in. And. If any man... It's on this page. That's why I can't find it. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. It's a big if. These guys are departing. It's not remaining in them anymore. They're not staying in fellowship with John anymore. Hey, we can't walk with you. We don't agree with you. If we still want to be known as Christians, but we're not going to abide. We're not going to let Christ's word abide in us anymore. Well, see, if that which you heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. I'm going to say it again. The life is in the vine. You must abide in Christ for that life to flow in you. If you do not continue to abide in Christ, you will be cast forth as a branch. I want to say it plain. There is no such thing as eternal security unless you abide in Christ and his words abide in you. Dave used to say it this way. I'm going to tailor it just a little bit for modern modern, it wasn't that long ago. I'm going to tailor it just a little bit. When he would teach on, ultimate security type thing, he'd say, look, a guy, maybe he hears the gospel and he goes to the aisle and confesses his sin, receives Jesus as his Savior, and maybe it was genuine, you know. And the seed of life comes in, okay? Little sapling, little tiny seed of life, Mark chapter 4, you know, the sower sows the word. But he said that guy, he may last a week, maybe a month. I'm going to go on 10 years. But then one day he turns his back on the teachings of Christ. I'm going to tailor it just a little. He lives in open fornication for the next 10 years with his girlfriend. Becomes a drunk, goes to the bar every day, and gets high on marijuana and cocaine every week. At the end, lives that way for the next 50 years. And gets shot by a jealous lover in the bar. You think that guy's going to make heaven based on a sentence that he said all those years ago? John's warning about that very thing in this epistle. He's warning about that very thing. If you... See how he says it. The life is in the vine. You have to stay connected to the vine. How you stay connected is in him and his words in you. And if you sever yourself from his words, you have severed yourself from his life. And you will be cast forth as a branch. Could he be more graphic? And that branch will be burned. He's trying to teach you. There is no such thing. There is eternal security to love Jesus and serve Jesus all the days of your life. Your eternity is secure if you do that. And if you fall, be quick to repent. Don't forget his teachings earlier. If you commit a sin, you have an advocate with the Father. It's not like most lawyers on earth. Most lawyers on earth say they start off with you're innocent. You start off with this one with you're guilty. But if you'll do that, then he offers his blood as payment for your guilt. It's not automatic. John says you better confess it and you better repent of it. The antichrists that John is talking about are denying the teachings of Jesus, even though they want to be known as Christians. His word is not abiding in them. They are actually denying his words. They are not denying him in word and deed, but they still want to be known as Christians. And they still declare that they're right with God. John is going to great lengths to say, no, you're not. They shall be cast forth as a branch and burned. John is writing the epistle as a warning. Do not be cut off and cast into the fire with them. In context, these antichrists who deny Christ's teachings are the very ones that John is warning about. They are the ones that... I write concerning those who seduce you. They're trying to seduce you away from the gospel that Jesus brought. And they're still doing it to this day. They tell you plainly, and I read it to you this morning from their own writings, they tell you plainly that the words of Christ do not apply to you. That is heresy to the 10th power. They tell you to follow what they say instead of what Christ said. And they have huge churches today all over the world. But I'm telling you, they're going to cause many to be cast forth and burned. Verse 27. Yeah. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Well, these are the ones seducing. But the anointing which you... That's the unction. But the anointing which you have received of him, that's the Holy Ghost, it abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Thank God for the new nature and the Holy Spirit. It is truly said, in fact, Richard Edgar during the youth conference said it this way. The same way that a natural compass always points north, Your new nature always points towards righteousness. Boy, I like that. That is so pure. See, and the new nature is your first teacher. It's the first, your first steps into the walk with Jesus, because it's going to accuse or excuse every thought you have. You learn to yield to it. That's your first teacher. But God gave us more than the new nature. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And he is the very Spirit of truth. And get this, he's not an angel. Like Dave would say, God didn't trust you to an angel. He trusted you to the third member of the Godhead himself. God, the Holy Spirit. And John is reminding everybody of what Jesus taught. Not only does the Holy Spirit teach us all things and show us things to come. How many are glad about that? But he also brings to your remembrance everything that Jesus has already said. Hallelujah. And these disciples knew that because that was the apostles' doctrine. That's what they were taught from house to house, what Jesus said. And today you're being taught what Jesus said. And besides that, you've got 13 flavors of Bibles. In America, you've got how many kinds? You've got Bibles all over the house. We have no excuse. We are the most accountable generation in history to know what Jesus said. So Jesus taught the apostles. He told them to teach the people what he taught them. So they did that. And as the disciples journey forward now, the Holy Spirit brings to their remembrance all the things that Jesus taught. We have the new nature. We have the words of Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit. This is how we abide in Christ and continue to receive that eternal life that flow from the vine. With all of John's teachings now in John chapter 1 and 2, I hope to God most of you have heard most of these. Now, I want you to see it in your Bible, please. Turn to John 14 now. And I just want you to see how closely John stays with the teachings of Jesus 50 to 55 years later. John 14, we're going to start. And I could really back up a little earlier than this, but this for today's teaching, we're going to run out of time. John 14, starting in verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What did John say? He that loves God keeps his commandments. Isn't that right? "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." John's been talking about him, "who the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless," and that's orphans, "I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me," now here it is, "because I live, you shall live also." Later on, he says, "I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. The life that's in the vine, same life, flows through the branches." Again, I'm seeing my grandfather's Concord grapes. And whoever it was that laid that sack of Concord grapes on my chair a couple of weeks ago, God bless you. I've had purple grapes, but they're not the same as Concord. I sat there, I nearly ate that whole batch in one sitting. I'm telling you, it transported me back. I was 8 years old again, picking grapes off of my grandfather's vine. I hadn't tasted real Concord grapes in decades. Anyway, now, and I'm not saying that for everybody that hears this to send me Concord grapes. Look at me, I'm big enough. I don't, you know, but I appreciate it. Thank God. Now notice this. Yet a little, verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father." Now get this. "And you in me, and I in you." Here it is again. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." What did John say? If you love him, you keep his commandments. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." So Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. What did John say? If you love him, you'll keep his words. Same thing. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. What about you? Okay, I'm just going to stop. What about the person that says, I love him, but I don't keep his commandments? John says you're a liar. No, I love him. I worship him. I go to church and I live in open fornication and drugs and alcohol. You're a liar. Yeah. No, I know him. John says you don't know him. And you don't love him either. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Jesus said you don't. John says you don't because Jesus says you don't. And I say you don't because John says you don't because Jesus says you don't. Radical grace people will say you're okay. It's all been forgiven. John says you're not okay. Jesus says you're not okay. You better depart from iniquity. Verse 24. And I, yes, sir, I hear Dave's voice right now because there's good people that are going to say, well, do I have to be perfect? What are you saying? No. See, Dave said it so right. Jesus will walk through hell with you and your fault, wherever you are. Wherever you are, I mean, you can't start much lower than Sue and I started. I mean, I was a drunk, and I wasn't on drugs, but alcohol and cigarettes, well, that's a drug, and pornography in the house, and living my life for money. I mean, it started really, really low. And, you know, he just, that old Baptist song, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that's how it began for me. He come in and all my mess. Come in all my mess and started teaching me from the inside out. But that's that spirit of Christ. And he will walk through hell with you as long as you're trying to follow him. But where it stops is when he says, this is sin, and you're going, no, it's not. Or he's saying, you don't have to, it's sin. And you say, well, I know it's sin, but I can't stop. And he's going, yeah, you can. I put my life in you. You can. You got to. See, that's why James, the very first step out of sin, bridle your tongue. You've got to start saying what he said. It's got to start there. You may feel like the weakest, tiniest, littlest toe on the body of Christ, that you have no strength at all, but you have got to at least say what he says. I am a child of light. I walk as a child of light. I'm a good tree and I bear good fruit. I'm a good well and I speak forth good things. It's got to start there. Hallelujah. He'll walk through hell with you. Don't get condemned. Get angry. Get angry at your flesh. Get angry at false teachers. And fall in love with Jesus who came to save you from your sin. He'll work with you from the inside out. He'll walk through hell with you. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to get good enough to receive the Holy Ghost. Because nobody gets that good. You get the Holy Ghost because he's good. Because Jesus, when you got born again, he created a holy of holies on the inside, if you'll allow me. That spirit that he created is already created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why the Holy Spirit can come while you're, like Gary was, a drunkard and a money server and a nicotine smoker and pornography watcher. My old religion would say, I can just see him. A Holy Ghost. Would never have anything to do with anybody like that. Well, you don't know him. That's exactly who the Holy Ghost comes to rescue. Jesus come in me and put a new spirit in me, and that is the habitation for the Holy Ghost. And the new nature and the Holy Ghost are working from the inside out, and they will walk through hell with you as long as you don't start denying that sin is sin, or you start saying, this is just who I am. I'm never going to get any better, which means you give up. Well, if you give up, what can they do? I recommend Pastor Dave Roberson's teachings to you. The prison is in the mind. The born again trail. So many others. I'm trying, Lord. He keeps telling me, teach, don't preach. I'm trying. You get up here and try it. It's hard anyway. It's hard. You get excited. Okay. Start in verse 23 again. Don't worry, there's only so many pages left. I'm teasing. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Oh, that's so important. John just said the same thing. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that keepeth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, now get this, and hath nothing in me. Listen, you're a child of light, and the Holy Spirit is in the process of purging any dead limbs off of you right now. Remember when he said, even if you're bearing fruit, and I believe each and every one of you are bearing fruit, but the Father says, we can nip a few limbs here. You can bear more fruit. See, well, that's the Holy Spirit working from the inside out. He's purging you. See, and really, it's the new nature. I just said that a little wrong. It is the Holy Spirit helping, because he keeps teaching and teaching who you are. And once your mind agrees with who you are, now you're agreeing with the new nature, and you go, I'm a child of light. I don't do that anymore. It's really your spirit that mortifies the deeds of the flesh, but the Holy Spirit helps you get there. Now, you're already there in the spirit, but I'm talking about your soul. Another teaching, another day. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. And here he goes. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. That word is the same word purged, by the way. Now you are clean, purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And let's stay in context with John, 1 John. He said, these guys have been in fellowship with us, but now they've left our fellowship. Well, how many of you think John is staying in fellowship? How many of you think John is staying connected with the vine? So when those guys left fellowship, what are they doing? They're severing themselves from the vine. You got that? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. That's exactly what John is talking about when he's talking about these antichrists. They have decided. Now, they still want to retain the name of Christian, but they have cut themselves off from the words of Jesus. They're not letting his words continue to abide in them. And when they do that, they're cutting themselves off from the vine. They are withered. I mean, he couldn't paint a more graphic picture. They're cast forth as a branch or cut off from the vine. It's withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. How graphic can he get? But if you abide in me, please underline, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. I'm gonna set you up. How many want to continue in His love? Come on now. If you don't raise your hand, I'm giving an altar call right now. How many want to continue in His love? Okay. Well, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide, continue in My love. Even as I kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment. We've already, John talked about this already. This is My commandment, that you love one another, not as your neighbor loves, not to love your neighbor as yourself now. This is a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are My friends, if, there is another if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of My Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, now get this, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that so whatsoever you ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's enough for today. Now, previews. He just got through saying, Jesus says, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. John is going to talk in a little bit later about how you can have confidence for answered prayer. Not everybody does, you know. How you can have confidence that when you pray, your prayers are answered. In the next chapter, he's going to start talking about the love of God. The love of God that went so far as to make you His child. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for the ungodly. How many are glad about that? Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come.